Hope you had a fabulous holiday weekend. We are revved up and ready to go. It's September, which means that we have got football to talk about. And how awesome was the opening weekend in college football? So many big games that we watched. Probably, you know, I guess you could say Houston and Oklahoma and the game that we saw between Texas and Notre Dame. Some would say that the UCLA-Texas A&M game was a dandy, and it was. But, boy, what a weekend of college football. You know, certainly when you look at USC, that is a, you know, first of all, there's no big shame in losing to Alabama, but to get embarrassed like that, and then the UCLA lose against Texas A&M in overtime. And again, you know, you're at Kyle Field, it's close, but Texas A&M is kind of a middle of the road football team, or at least it appears that way right now. And listen, it's only the first weekend of college football, but when you look at what has already happened in college football, I don't see any way that the Pac-12 is going to have a team playing in the Final Four this year. I just don't. You know, they have a very good conference from top to bottom, but they don't have that super team. They don't have that elite team. And, you know, to me, a one-loss SEC team would be in. Clearly, you know, barring an unforeseen set of circumstances, Florida State or Clemson would be in the driver's seat to get in. You've got the Big Ten champ is probably going to be in. And I just don't see how the Pac-12 is going to get in there with that elite team. They don't really have that team this year. Good conference, very good conference. But I don't see how they're going to get in to the tournament this year. I really don't. Now, I know it's only 1 week, and so I don't want to get carried away, but you know, the fact that USC got blown out and the fact that, you know, UCLA lost in overtime to a middle-of-the-road Texas A&M team, certainly I don't see the Pac-12 being around for the Final Four at the end of the season. But I got to tell you one thing we did see, all right? We saw a heck of a weekend in college football, all right? We saw a heck of a weekend. It was a great way to get started, a lot of fun, a lot of excitement in these games. And I got to tell you, the one thing that I noticed is such bad clock management by so many coaches in college football. I see it every year, and I don't understand why there is such bad clock management in college football. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me. It really is. You know, we saw it in the Clemson Auburn game. We saw it. I mean, I've saw it in three or four games I watched this weekend, and I'm thinking, geez. You know, you got all those coaches, you've got experienced coaches, and you've got such bad clock management at such inopportune times. So we're going to talk a lot today. Darius Walker, former NFL running back, and you can follow him on Twitter at Darius A. Walker. We'll talk both college and the NFL. Sacramento Kings' Matt Barnes will be on with me at 4:32. Charles Davis at 5:03. We will talk with Bob Soci, play-by-play voice for the New England Patriots. We'll preview that team coming up at 6:18. So, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Obviously not a good weekend for the SEC with, you know, some of their teams that you did not expect to lose losing. Clearly, Alabama had no problem with USC, but not a good weekend for the SEC. Not a good weekend for the Pac-12. Not at all. And, you know, you watched last night, Florida State, a terrible first half, but then revved it up. And Coach Fisher, great adjustments at halftime to pour it on against Ole Miss. College football season, I love talking about it. All right, I've been asking you this question for a minimum of 4 weeks, going on 6 weeks, all right? I've asked you San Francisco Giants fans if you're nervous or not. And here's what you should be nervous about right now. You should be nervous about whether you're even going to be in the playoffs or not. As a matter of fact, I personally feel that the Giants, you know, if you had asked me, do I think they're going to be in the playoffs, I would say, no, they're not going to be in the playoffs, all right? This team, I think with their 3 1-run losses at Wrigley, they had a chance to go into Colorado sky high And with Casilla blowing that game on Sunday in the ninth, gee, where have we seen that before? They go into Colorado, and they look like a little league team last night or yesterday afternoon. They looked awful. I mean, they couldn't catch. They couldn't hit. I mean, you only get two hits at Coors Field. Are you kidding me? Matt Moore was awful, although, in all fairness, he didn't get any help behind him. Brandon Crawford, which should have been a routine double play, you know, booted a ball at short after they had already walked, after Matt Moore had walked two guys to start the inning. I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs. I just don't think that. There's nothing, and I've been saying this every day, and I'm still waiting to figure out, you know, when the narrative is going to be different. There's nothing that I've seen from the San Francisco Giants, nothing, in the last 2 months that would make me feel, yeah, you know what, they're close to coming out of it. I don't see it. They're four games back now of the Dodgers. And you know, that's fine, all right? If you don't win the division, as we know, if you're a Giants fan, it's not the end of the world, all right? We've already seen the Giants be a wild card team and go the distance. Here's the problem. You're tied in the loss column with the Cardinals, and you play them four times when you come home from this road trip. And now you're only two up in the loss column over the Mets, who all of a sudden have started to play well. They've won 7 of 10. They've won 3 in a row. And they have an absolute cupcake schedule the rest of the way the Mets do. So when you look at the Giants right now, at 73-64, with a road trip that after Colorado, they're going to go to Arizona. You know, the Giants can't beat the good teams. They can't beat the bad teams. They can't. They're awful right now. They're absolutely awful. They're awful. And the Cardinals are coming on. The Mets are coming on. Yeah, I'm just wondering, if you're a Giants fan, do you think there's a real possibility that this team's not even going to be in the postseason? Because, you know, it's not like we're waiting for the slide to stop. My point is, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. It's not stopping. You know, I don't see this team all of a sudden just turning it around because, well, they've been there before and they've done it before. You know what this team reminds me of? This team reminds me of the Oakland A's when they made the John Lester trade. And John Lester came over and you thought, gee, okay, they finally have someone that can beat Justin Verlander in a big game. And the team, when they traded Cespedes, was never the same, right? The A's were rolling. They had the best record in baseball then, did they not, when they made that trade? And they were never the same team. Here's the Giants team, and they don't look like they're anywhere near a championship-caliber team, and they don't look like they're even close. They don't look like they're even close to being the team that we saw in the first half of the season. I mean, they look awful, absolutely awful. I mean, I don't know how you go to Coors and only get two hits. This team can't hit. It's shocking. And I really mean it. Shocking that they were in every game in Wrigley, considering they hit, what, 110 or so in the series? I mean, the fact that they were even in those games to me is shocking. So if you want to talk about that, we'll do so at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I'll ask you, do you feel the Giants are going to be in the playoffs? Yeah, I'm wondering if this team, when they get home from this road trip, they may not even be in the wild card. They may not be first or second in the wild card standings. They may be third when they get home from this road trip. That's how bad things are. All right, since we were with you last, Sam Bradford goes to Minnesota for a first and a fourth. I don't know why anyone would give a first-round pick for Sam Bradford. What has Sam Bradford ever done in his NFL career that you would give him a first and a fourth? I mean, you want to talk about panicking. And I get the fact that Teddy Bridgewater's out and may not even be ready for the start of next year. And now you bring in Sam Bradford? I don't get that. Carson Wentz, named the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. How bad is it that Carson Wentz is starting for Philadelphia, Dak Prescott is starting for Dallas, Trevor Siemian, although not a rookie, is starting for Denver, And your top pick in the draft, Jared Goff, isn't even active for this weekend's game against San Francisco. How bad is that? That's right. He's not even going to have his uniform on. Jared Goff comes back to Northern California, grew up in Marin County, quarterback at Cal, and won't even have a uniform on. He will be inactive for the game on Monday night. And again, as I say that, it looks really bad when you see Carson Wentz starting at Philly, Dak Prescott starting in Dallas. Now, I understand why Prescott's starting. We get that. And I also understand why Wentz is starting, because they made the trade. But the point is, they're still starting. All right? And, you know, Simeon, who's never taken a snap under center in the NFL, he's starting. And you got Jared Goff, who's not even active. That does not look good for the Rams. Now, I'm not saying that means he's never going to be good. I'm not saying that means he's a bust. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is it doesn't look good. It does not look good if you're a fan of the LA Rams. I mean, how could it look good? You know, you spend all that, you make that kind of a move, and now you open up the season and your number one pick's not even in uniform. How about that? I mean, that's brutal. Absolutely brutal. So if you want to talk about that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I'm starting to get the injury reports trickling in from games last night and, you know, what we saw in college football. We always talk about injuries in the NFL. Ole Miss, they've lost their starting cornerback, Ken Webster. They've lost their backup running back, Eric Swinney, for the whole season with knee injuries. How brutal is that? The biggest loss is Webster. And, you know, he's their best corner. That is brutal. And you saw what happened when he went out of the game. Right? I mean, what was it, 420 yards of total offense? Or excuse me, 420 yards through the air by Francois. I mean, that's incredible. So now Ole Miss, they got some big issues. Some big issues with those injuries. I don't know about you, but I am so happy that it's football season. I'm so happy that college football is here and we saw some good games. I am just absolutely pumped that we've got NFL football to get to. And what would football season be, ladies and gentlemen? What would football season be, boys and girls, without, once again, a delusional Dallas Cowboys fan calling my show none other than Stanley? Hello, Mr. Delusional. How was your summer?
Well, obviously it wasn't very good. But
Why wasn't it very good? You're starting off negative already. We haven't talked.
I'm starting off negative on the baseball.
Oh.
You see, wait a minute. The Giants yesterday, besides those two hits, they hit two balls out of the infield. Okay. That wouldn't be the case if they had Barry Bonds as the hitting coach.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, how's he doing down in Miami? How are they going to be in the playoffs this year?
I guarantee you they're going to hit more than two balls out of the infield, a total of four balls out of the infield.
Yeah, and you're going to
guarantee that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
But anyway.
Now, the next thing you're going to tell me that if the Giants had Danny Fortson as the third base coach, they'd have five more wins.
No, I'm not going to tell you that, but I'll tell you the Kings would have been. You know what? We'll save that for later.
Oh, my God. By the way, don't be looking for the Miami Hurricanes to win a lot of games this year and get into the top 20 or top 15. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know, Grant. I know. Let's just talk about the Miami Hurricanes as an afterthought. Everybody they put in the game did well. I mean, we just rolled them 70-3. And you know what? We were trying not to embarrass them.
You played a team that I've never even heard of before.
Florida A&M?
Yeah, the Florida A&M. Like, I didn't know Florida A&M even played football. Who the hell's Florida A&M? No one even has heard of Florida A&M.
You never heard of Bob Hayes, huh?
I've heard of Bob Hayes. I used to watch him play all the time, and I love Bob Hayes.
Then
that was back in the 60s, for crying out loud. We got to go all the way back to the 60s to find a good player to come out of Florida A&M.
You never heard of Larry Little, huh?
I heard Larry Little is another one. Yeah, we were talking about 40 years ago, for crying out loud.
Okay, Grant, the bottom line is we rolled them.
Come on.
Hey, Can you say the same for that so-called Southeastern Conference school?
I know one thing. The Southeastern Conference will have one team in the championship in the Final Four.
We'll see. You're mouthing off now. Alabama, they look. Hey, I'll admit it. They rolled SC.
Hey, I got another question. I just looked at your schedule. You play a team, Florida Atlantic. Who the hell is Florida Atlantic?
That's right. FAU. Florida Atlantic.
Florida Atlantic. I mean, I didn't even know there was a school called Florida Atlantic.
Look at their record last year.
I don't have to look at anything. They're probably playing like high school teams in the area. Florida Atlantic. What a joke. Florida Atlantic. Come on, dude.
But anyway.
Come on. But when are you going to start playing some teams, for crying out loud?
Mr. Napier, tell me this. Are you going to be able to broadcast at next Tuesday? Because I understand that the Monday night game is going to be on. But are you going to broadcast next Tuesday after the Dallas Cowboys were back?
Yeah, here we go again. Here we go again. Let me tell you something right now. And I made this comment a week ago, and I was off by 2 weeks. I said after week two that Dallas Cowboys would have a veteran quarterback on their team, and it happened before we even got to 2 weeks in the tune of Mark Sanchez. Now, Dak Prescott looked great in the preseason. Preseason doesn't mean squat, means nothing. Dak Prescott is going to find out what the NFL is all about on Sunday at 1:25 Pacific time. You watch.
You are absolutely – for once, I actually agree with you. And the New York Giants are going to find out what misery is all about at the same time.
That's my lock of the week, actually, is the Giants over the Cowboys.
Okay.
My lock of the week.
And what's gonna be your lock on Tuesday when you come in here crying?
Well, the great thing about the Giants playing the Cowboys early is I won't have to hear from you for several more weeks, so that's actually a blessing for me.
Okay, Grant.
All right.
I'm going to let it ride. You all heard him, didn't you?
Yeah, lock of the week. Dak Prescott is not winning against Eli Manning. Not happening. Lock of the week. Take it.
Lock
of the week.
In an insane asylum. That's what I think.
Lock of the week. Take it to the bank. Jeff, you're on with Grant Napier. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going, Grant?
What's happening?
Hey, I just want to comment on what I perceive as an SEC bias every single year. And just to illustrate it, you got LSU going up to Wisconsin, losing to an unranked team. You got Tennessee ranked number 9, nearly getting beat by Appalachian State. You got Ole Miss losing. Yeah, Alabama beat the crap out of USC, but USC hasn't been good for a long time. And you even said yourself a one-loss SEC team is, you know, probably going to make it into the playoffs. Now, I don't know if you feel that that's deserved or...
Well, I can't. It would depend who the one loss is to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if Alabama, you know, which I think is the best team in the conference, and I think most people agreed that they were the best team in the conference before this weekend even began, you know, if they happen to lose one game, then, you know, that's still one loss. But if it's a – it depends who they lose to. You know, I mean, I can't forecast that right now.
Right, I hear you. But it's just very frustrating to me to see the, you know, the preseason ranked in the top 25. And I just think it's unfair. It's ridiculous. And it always proves out that's not the best – they're not the best conference.
Well, it was for many, many years. It probably is not now, and I think that's a fair comment to make. But here's the other deal. I've always said this, and I'm going to say it. I haven't always said this, but I've said this the last couple of years. I don't think there should be any rankings in college football until you get to the middle of October. I mean, look at how bad the rankings have been just based on what we witnessed this weekend.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks, Grant. And I got to go, but thanks for taking my call and listening to me.
All right, thank you very much. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, again, I'm looking at Alabama, and they made USC look silly. All right, that's the one thing that we saw. They really did. Now, again, here's what I look at. With Alabama, I don't see any really games that I would consider like, you know, they now play, I think they play Ole Miss in 2 weeks. They've already banged up. I'm not saying that that's an easy game on the road. I'm pretty sure they play LSU on the road in the first part of November. And I know LSU lost to Wisconsin, but I think they're still going to be pretty good. But they don't even have a top 10 team on their schedule right now. Now, that could change. You know, they beat USC, which, by the way, I think a lot of people are forgetting. You know, USC was not projected, you know, as this powerhouse, and they won 52-6. So, to me, if Alabama has one loss, if that one loss is against a team such as, I don't know, Kentucky, that would knock them out. If it's against a Chattanooga, that would knock them out. If it's against a Mississippi State, that would knock them out. You know, I don't see how this team is going to not run the table with their schedule. Again, their toughest two games are both on the road. They play Ole Miss, I think that's in 2 weeks, and then I know they play LSU early November on the road. Those are the two toughest games as it looks right now for Alabama. All right, let's get to Moses. You're on with Grant Napier. What's up, Moses? Moses, what's up? Moses. Moses! All right. Again, if you want to call the program, you can at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, coming up on the show today, we are going to talk with Darius Walker, former NFL running back. We'll also talk to him about some college football. Looking forward to doing that. We've got Matt Barnes coming up at 4:32. Coming up at 5:03, Charles Davis from Fox Sports. And we'll preview the New England Patriots coming up at 6:18. So we got a lot of things going on at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. It is 3:24, time to visit your Twin Peaks Grill for the coldest beer, great food, and all the sports you want to see. Baseball, Giants fans, you're nervous now, aren't you? Now, if you tell me you're not nervous, I don't believe you. But if you tell me you're not nervous, I'm going to ask you why, and you better have some good answers. I'd be very nervous if I were a San Francisco Giants fan. I've told you that for a month now. This team has got some real issues. There's just, I don't know if you call it swagger. I don't know what you call it, all right? But they're missing it, all right? They're missing it. Somebody wants to know how Bowling Green did this weekend. You know what? Don't know, don't care. I don't follow Bowling Green football, so it doesn't matter to me. But at least they played a good team, unlike Miami. You know, at least they play Ohio State. I mean, at least I can say that. You're playing Florida Atlantic or Florida. I mean, come on, really? Stop it already. Go out there and schedule some teams, would you please? Now, and again, I don't follow Bowling Green at all. I really don't. I don't care about Bowling Green. But at least they're playing Ohio State. Now, at least they give them credit for that. You know, unlike Miami. I mean, what a joke. Are you kidding me or what? Are we really having this conversation? We're going to talk about, you know, playing a schedule like Miami has? I mean, come on. Let's get serious, please. Joke. I can't fault a team for getting blown out after playing at Ohio State. At least they're playing them. I'd like to go see Miami play Ohio State on the road. Be embarrassing. All right. We'll be right back. The Grant Napier Show continuing here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Boy, how about Troy Aikman of Fox going off on Skip Bayless? Richard Deitch is the media critic and the columnist for SI.com. And he was asked about, Troy Aikman, by the way, was asked about his network's hiring of Skip Bayless. Quote, to say I'm disappointed in the hiring of Skip Bayless would be an enormous understatement. Clearly, Jamie Horowitz, who's, by the way, the Fox Sports president of National Networks, clearly Jamie Horowitz and I have a difference of opinion when it comes to building a successful organization. I believe success is achieved by acquiring and developing talented, respected, and credible individuals, none of which applies to Skip Bayless. How about that for you? Troy Aikman going off on his company on Skip Bayless. Boy, that says it all right there, does it not? All right, let's get to Steve. You're on with Grant Napier. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Grant. How's it going?
What's happened?
Hey, I want to see if you know, what is Woody Hayes, Bo Schembecker, Urban Meyer, and Nick Saban all have in common?
I believe it's possible that they may have all been at the at Miami and Ohio at one point in time, and I'd have to go back and check on that. But I know that that's always been called the coach's cradle, Miami down in Oxford, Ohio. But do I have it wrong?
They were all head coaches in the MAC. The MAC.
Yes.
Unbelievable head coaches out.
I know they have. But I'm almost positive. And I'll look it up that both Bo and Woody at one point were part of the Miami organization in Oxford. But Urban Meyer, of course, coached at Bowling Green. But you're right. All those guys were at the Mid-American Conference at one point.
Yeah, and Saban was at Toledo. Also, too, I want to know what you think about Houston running the table. Now they got Oklahoma out of the way. They really don't have anybody else standing in their way unless they slip up in conference. But they're going to be in the championship. They're going to be in the playoffs for sure.
I still think that they're going to have a difficult time. And I'm not saying that they won't be in, okay? And I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is when I look at Houston's schedule, all right, which is, again, when you get right down to it, they have one tough game left, and that's Louisville. And by then, Louisville may not even be a top 20 team. They don't play anybody between now and Louisville. They really don't. They have a cupcake schedule. And what's Oklahoma? If Oklahoma has another loss, you know, before we get to the end of the season, their ranking won't be good enough. I don't personally agree with you. I don't think Houston will be a top four team. I don't think their schedule is tough enough to get in there. Their schedule is very light. And by the way, I think Coach Herman's doing a great job there. Don't get me wrong. But I don't see their schedule being tough enough to get in to the playoff at the end of the year.
No, he's done an unbelievable job. But I got another game, too. They might slip up in 2 weeks. They play on a Thursday night down in Cincinnati.
Yep, they do.
That's a tough place to play.
On a Thursday night, it is. It's nationally televised. It's the network game of the week, ESPN game of the week. And you're right. Don't overlook this Cincinnati game. But the point I was trying to make to you, Steve, is that they don't play ranked teams. And they don't play enough ranked teams, in my opinion. Actually, right now, as it stands, the only ranked team they've got left is Louisville. And currently, they're number 13 in the country. So that won't be good enough to get them into a playoff.
All right, Grant. Nice talking to you. Take care.
All right, thank you. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. That was a heck of a game, that Houston-Oklahoma game. That was an absolute dandy. And, you know, I wonder, you know, if Houston is, you know, a lock to become part of the Big 12 conference. And I wonder, you know, when you look at what's going on in college football right now and what Coach Herman has done there in that program. By the way, that was a very, very highly rated game across the country, which also says something. So, you know, we'll see. You know what? And listen, how great is it to see the Texas players? We saw this last year, you know, after they beat Oklahoma and at the Cotton Bowl. And we saw it again with Charlie Strong being lifted and carried off the field by his players. And now Texas is 11th in the country in the AP poll. And that win, obviously, gigantic to say the least. Now I'm looking at Texas and I'm looking at their schedule. And I guess their next real challenging game is Oklahoma State. They play, obviously, the big rivalry game in Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl. They've got, you know, Kansas State, not very good. TCU, pretty good. But the fact that Texas, you know, wins that type of a game against Notre Dame, and you got to love the way Texas used their freshman quarterback and their senior quarterback. I mean, it looks like Charlie Strong has just got this team dialed in. I mean, Shane Buechele, are you kidding me? This kid last year at this time was a high school quarterback. Really? Did you watch Shane Buechele, the true freshman? Did you watch him and what he did in this game? I mean, he was unbelievable. Unbelievable. What's there not to like if you're looking at Texas football right now? They looked incredible. They really looked good. And you got a freshman quarterback who can go out and play that well in his first game. That's saying something. And then you put Tyrone Swoops in, with the power formation, and everyone knows you're running the football, and they still can't stop you. That's a senior quarterback in goal line situations. Shane Buechele, I mean, first of all, he had two touchdowns that were dropped. But he throws for 280 yards in his debut. Really should have been closer to 400, but he had two bad drops. Think about this. Can you imagine, you know, this, by the way, he's from Arlington, Texas. So Shane Buechele grows up in the Dallas area, a true freshman, and his first game in front of the Texas faithful plays like that. Man, that's impressive. Matter of fact, there were a lot of good freshman quarterbacks that we saw over the weekend. I mean, how about what we saw last night from Francois, Florida State? I mean, how good was that performance? He looked jittery in the first quarter. It looked like he was somebody that was going to go, uh-oh. Right? I mean, Chad Kelly looked far better. And then that touchdown right before the half, if you were watching that game, and Florida State never looked back. What did they go on, a 30-0 run at that one point? That was pretty impressive, to say the least. Now we're going to turn our attention to the NFL with Thursday Night Football. We'll have that game for you right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. I guess the question, can you expect Trevor Siemian to score against the Carolina defense? Now, I know the game's in Denver, and I know that's important, but he's never played quarterback in the NFL. Practice is not playing in the games. I wonder how you see that matchup coming up on Thursday. Raiders, obviously, on the road against New Orleans. 49ers will take on the Rams. No Jared Goff. He will be inactive for the game on Monday night. How about that? Inactive. Your number one pick in the draft won't even be in uniform on Monday night. All right, let's get to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Grant, how you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, just curious, you're talking college football. Did you get a chance to watch any of the Auburn-Clemson game?
I did. I thought that Clemson's clock management in the final 2 minutes was some of the worst clock management I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. I thought what was equally as bad was Auburn's got like four different quarterbacks running out there. They get, you know, a couple of passes completed, and then another quarterback's coming out there. And I don't know. I just wanted to get your opinion on that. What you thought about swapping out quarterbacks so often? It just seemed like it was a huge.
You know what? Early in the season, you'll see coaches do that. We've seen Nick Saban do that. You know, we saw Texas do that. We saw Notre Dame do that. But, you know, there's a saying, Mike, as I'm sure you've heard this before, you know, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks. And maybe that applies more to the NFL than it does in college. But in a nutshell, I'm not a fan of that. I'm really not.
Yeah, and then the other thing, I was, you know, you hate to overreact too much to the first week. And, you know, I mean, obviously teams that have lost in the first week have come back. But,
sure,
man, it really seems like the Pac-12 didn't do itself any favors in the first week. And really,
you did not. Maybe
only have Stanford and Washington and maybe Oregon as teams that you could realistically look at as being playoff contenders.
I don't think they will be a playoff contender. I don't think the conference is good enough. They don't have that one super team. I don't see it. As a matter of fact, I'll go on record right now. The Pac-12 will not have a team playing in the Final Four. I would say this about Washington. I mean, how impressive was Jake Browning? Of course, we watched him in this area at Folsom High School, but a true freshman last year. He throws for nearly 300 yards, three touchdowns. I thought he was outstanding. I think Washington is a team that is well on their way with Coach Peterson to being an elite team in the Pac-12. Excuse me.
Yeah, they've got Washington and Stanford up in, I think, like 3 weeks up on a Friday night up in Seattle. That should be a lot of fun.
That is going to be a dandy, isn't it? That will be a really good game. And I'm looking at, you know, Washington, and I'm not saying they're going to be that team this year. In other words, I'm not saying they're going to be an elite team in the Pac-12 this year, but I think next year they will. As you said, you know, they got Stanford at the end of this month, as you pointed out, on a Friday night. But then the next week, all right, right after Stanford, they have to go to Oregon. That's a really brutal 2-week stretch right there.
All right, thanks, Grant.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate the phone call. But how fun is it to watch, you know, our local high school athletes go on to big-time college football and do it on that type of a stage. Got to love that, right? And, you know, I think Joe Davidson of the Bee does a great job in highlighting all of our local high school players that are currently playing in college football. He has great features on them, and, you know, that's how I keep up to date with how they're doing. Mostly, he does a great job in that department, and Jake Browning is just one in a long list, you know, of players that have excelled in our area that are playing big-time college football and doing it very, very well. All right, we'll be right back. This is the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHDK. Grant Napier with you, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You want to text the show? You can at 44-1140. Coming up on the show today, we'll talk some football with Darius Walker, former NFL running back. Also, can't be too happy after watching his Fighting Irish go down against Texas. Matt Barnes from the Kings at 432. Charles Davis. We'll talk with Charles about what's on the slate this weekend in the NFL from Fox and the NFL Network. We'll preview the Patriots in the final hour of the show. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Somebody said, why the talk of college football playoffs after 1 week? Because that's what you do on talk radio. You talk about scenarios. You talk about possibilities. You talk about, you know, things of interest. And, you know, since we're out here on the West Coast, I think the one thing's very apparent after, you know, 1 week of college football is unless, and again, you know, I say unless, you know, a team like Washington is able to, and I think we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but you look at Washington and, you know, they're a top 10 team right now in the AP and the coaches poll. I think, what were they, 11th? You know, a team like Washington would have to win at home against Stanford and then win at Oregon. But the rest of the conference is, the problem is you don't have that super team. At least I don't believe you do. You know, I'm trying to look at this and think about, okay, well, which team is, you know, the team that you would look at and go, okay, yeah, they're really, really, could it be Stanford with Christian McCaffrey? They've got USC this in 2 weeks. I think they have a bye this week. Their remaining games, they do have to play at Washington on the road. They play at Notre Dame. And I think, if I remember correctly, Stanford's at Oregon this year. So I don't know if there's going to be the strength of this conference. I think they're really good. In other words, from top to bottom, I think it's a good conference, but I'm just making a prediction right now. I don't think they're going to have a team in the playoffs. All right? 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Someone says, any info on single-game Kings tickets available outside the first six games? Would love to go. Just go to kings.com. They will keep you up to date on everything related with tickets. Go to kings.com. And, you know, if that's something that you're interested in, you can follow, you know, the Kings with their Kings, you know, app, so that you, all you have to do is bring up your app on your phone and it's right there. That's what I would look at. Somebody says Michigan is for real. Just watch them. I'm not saying they're not. And I do think that the Big Ten champ will be in the Final Four. I think the Big Ten champion will be in the Final Four. And so I'm not doubting you at all on Michigan. I'm not doubting you at all. And now they are, the last game of the year is at Ohio State. But other, you know, then they've got Wisconsin who beat LSU. I think that game's at home for Michigan. Michigan State's pretty good. They're playing on the road at Michigan State. So if you run that table, you will be in the national story. You will be in the national playoffs. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, that's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. It's always fun to look at, you know, the upsets after week one. As they say in college football, you know, you're a loss earlier in the season you can rebound from compared to late in the season. That's the one thing we've seen. Now, if you're a fan of USC, I mean, I don't know how many people realistically thought that USC was going to beat Alabama. I'm sure there were some, but I mean, you got to be realistic about this. USC looked awful, did they not? I mean, they looked horrible. They got absolutely manhandled by Alabama. Manhandled. You know, you're looking at that game, the most lopsided game of the weekend. And I think most people thought that at least it could be a competitive game. But boy, oh boy, was that brutal. And I'm wondering if you're a fan of USC, you know, what are you thinking now? Again, I think if you play Alabama down in Arlington and you lose, but, you know, you lose respectably, you're okay. Nothing, there is nothing positive about that. They just got absolutely manhandled. Manhandled. And now they have to play, I know they're at Stanford in 2 weeks. That's a primetime game. I think they have Utah State next week. But 52-6. Anybody out there think 52-6, 52-6? Anybody pick that one? 52-6 against Alabama. You know, there's not a lot to look at statistics from that game and say, yeah, that was good. That was good. They couldn't throw the ball where they have 100 yards passing. Not good. Not good at all. If you're a fan of the USC Trojans, I'm not saying that you're not going to win any games this year, but boy, oh boy, you got a long way to go. All right, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Somebody says, what's yours and Aikman's problems with Skip Bayless? First of all, I'm not the one that said it. I'm reading you what Troy Aikman said. Why are you putting me in the middle of this? I got nothing to do with this. I'm reading it. I'm reporting the news. All right? I just think it's very interesting that Troy Aikman, who works for Fox, comes out and publicly rips the man that makes these decisions. All right? That's all I'm saying. I mean, he didn't just come out and say he didn't like it. He ripped Jamie Horowitz, who's the president of Fox Sports. All right? Again, if you're just joining me, this is what Troy Aikman had to say when he was asked by Richard Deitch of Sports Illustrated how he felt about Skip Bayless being hired by his network. Quote, to say I'm disappointed in the hiring of Skip Bayless would be an enormous understatement. Clearly, Jamie Horowitz and I have a difference of opinion when it comes to building a successful organization. I believe success is achieved by acquiring and developing talented, respected, and credible individuals, none of which applies to Skip Bayless. How about that? How about this? This guy says, I picked Alabama by at least 2 touchdowns. All right, well, you picked them by at least 2 touchdowns. You realize that's 14 points, correct? All right, did you see how many points they lost by? They lost by 46 points. So you're way off. You're way off. But I hear what you're saying. Hey, it's 3:56, time to visit your Twin Peaks Grill for the coldest beer, great food, and all the sports you want to see. When we'll come back, we'll talk more about college and the NFL with Darius Walker. That's next here on the Grant Napier Show.